Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, we expect to talk to AJ Pierzynski here in a moment. Talk some baseball with him. Cubs win last night. That was a game that I did not think, another game that I did not think that they would pull out. These last two games, I didn't think the bullpen would hold on to the lead two days ago on Sunday. And then
they
last
got a little
night,
mojo going.
Yeah.
Like the night before you end a game on a pickoff play. Last night you scored the game tying run from second base on a wild pitch in the ninth inning. And then the team that you're squared off against can't score a run, and the D-backs couldn't score a run in either of the bottom of the or the 10th or the 11th inning, right?
Yep.
So
they're finding ways. They're finding ways these last few days.
Enjoy
the road. Yeah. And the White Sox lost again. They were shut out yet again.
Sixth time in 16 games.
It's incredible. And there are some really ugly stats from that.
At least these games are only being played in like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
so I'm trying to grasp quickly. Yeah, that's what you were saying. I saw that Bob Nightingale wrote that the White Sox joined the 1907 Brooklyn. What is it? The Super Bass or Super Boz?
As the pronounced Super Bads.
Super Bads. That's right. As the only MLB team in history to be shut out six times in the first 16 games. AJ Pierzynski is great at what he does. Of course, he was a World Series catcher for the White Sox, one of the most beloved players in their history. And he's a great MLB analyst, often with Adam Amin on Fox, but his podcast is outstanding. We often play clips from it. It's called Foul Territory. Check that out every day. And today, he had an interesting clip on there that we were going to play later about how he no longer works for the White Sox because of the conversation about Chris Getz and the lack of development and what the White Sox have not done in recent years, drafting and developing. So we reached out to him, and AJ, kind enough, as he always is, to pick up the phone for us. So AJ Pierzynski joining us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. AJ, how are you?
I am doing great, y'all. I'm checking into a flight right now. So, you know, if you hear me, she asks you what seat I'm in. If I say, you know, like 2F, just know.
Now you're first class, though, all the way, aren't you?
Of course. I'm not, yeah. Yeah. Coach, what's that? I don't
he's not
what
with the
means.
White Sox any longer. Of course he's first class.
Hey, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
I said that.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure people understand. I didn't say that.
All right. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of the Sox talk, explain what happened, because when we talked to you after Getz got hired, you were still talking that you have conversations with Jerry and that you have a good relationship with Jerry. Why do you no longer work for or with the White Sox?
Well, I was an ambassador for the team and a fan ambassador, and we just kind of mutually agreed to part ways. Timing, whatever you want to call it, but, it wasn't, let's just say that they weren't real happy with some of the things that I said about them on the podcast, which I understand. Listen, and we've talked about it. We're not mad at each other. We're not enemies at all. No, I still talk to Jerry. I still see him. So, you know, we still talk and, all that. They just, didn't want me to, and I'm doing a show every day and I'm going to give my honest opinion on things. And they didn't enjoy it or they didn't like it, then there was nothing I could do. And I understand. We mutually decided to be like, hey, it's cool. I get it. And I still love the White Sox. I still love the organization. I still love the fans. And so I still love Jerry, Reifer, Bechtel, all of them. So, there's no hard feelings at all. It was kind of a mutual thing.
Because you have such a strong feeling about this organization, AJ, do you have feelings of frustration as well for how things are being handled now?
I don't know about frustration. I just want it to be better, right? I'm a fan. First and foremost, I'm a fan. I obviously played for the White Sox, but I'm also a fan of the organization. And I want them to do well. I think the biggest thing is people want, on social media, people are like, oh, he doesn't want him to do well. That's not true at all. And I want him to be good. I want the White Sox. It's a matter of pride. My kids are White Sox fans. You know, my whole family's White Sox fans. And they want to be good. It sucks when you look up and they're 2-14 and scoring one run a game. And you're like, man, this is awful. Maybe I'm a little more passionate than some, but I also have a bigger platform than most people do. And listen, these are things I hear from fans when I'm walking around ballparks and doing things. And they're like, you know, that's this, or what about this? And, you know, also as a media member, you guys know sometimes you got to ask questions. And listen, at the end of the day, I want the White Sox to be good. I want these prospects to pan out. I want Colson Montgomery to be great, Noah Schultz to be great. I want these guys to be good because it's a sense of pride, not only for a former White Sox player, but for somebody that cares deeply about the organization.
AJ, what's the biggest issue ailing this franchise right now from your perspective?
We can't even talk about this year. I mean, can't we? I mean, it's kind of like, all right, this year has been such a crazy, I don't want to call it a fluky year, but it just hasn't been good. Nothing's gone right. Whether it's injuries, guys not coming back, everything, right? Signings that haven't worked out. Whatever it is, it's just been a kind of a mismatch of a bunch of stuff that hasn't worked. And, right now, I mean, I think, they need to develop better like other teams do. I think they need to sign people that are, going to be help them. They need to spend money, which, there's two organizations in baseball that have signed $100 million contracts, the A's and the White Sox. I mean, those are facts, right? They have players coming, but, we've heard about it for years that, this guy's coming, this guy's coming, this guy's coming. And so far, a lot of those guys haven't become what we thought they'd become. And I know only a couple years ago they were in the playoffs. But, they weren't beating the Astros in 21. In 2020, they probably had a chance to beat the A's, but it just didn't work out. So, it's just been but for me, the biggest thing they need to do is they need to find players. They need to come up with what they're looking for in players. And I give the new scouting report, Shirley, credit that he's drafted some good players and they've found new players. But, I'm looking for guys, and I say this, if you watch what I said yesterday, and I said the same thing 6 months ago. Where's the 20th round draft pick? Where's the 15th round draft pick that nobody really wanted? Not that they didn't want him, but they found and they're like, we can make something out of this guy. And he comes up to the big leagues and contributes. So this is a guy anyone can say, we hit on our first round pick, because that's easy. I mean, every team should try to hit on their first round pick, but it's the guys that you develop that nobody else was counting on developing to a contributor that to me really spells development at a minor league level.
We're talking to AJ Pierzynski, World Series hero for the White Sox. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. What's frustrated us, AJ, and we talked to you about this a little bit last year, was when they did hire Getz, whether you believed Getz should get the job or should not get the job, they didn't do the homework and they didn't do the legwork on interviewing anybody else. They didn't go outside the organization and interview and find out about the team. They didn't see who else was out there. They just simply appointed him when, like you said, they weren't finding these guys under him when he was the minor league guy to begin with. Did that frustrate you that with all of baseball, 29 other teams, they didn't go to the Rays, they didn't go to the Astros, all these other teams to find out if there was a better guy to turn around this organization?
I don't know about frustrated, because, it doesn't affect. It's baseball, it's a game. I love baseball and I love the White Sox, but it doesn't really affect your life, does it? I mean, it shouldn't. I mean, it's fun to talk about, and it's fun to watch, it's fun to play and all that. But as far as affecting me and getting frustrated, no. It was more of you have an opportunity as an organization, any organization, they fire their GM. You get to talk to 29 other teams, front office people, or whoever. You can talk to whoever you want as long as the team gives you permission. And you can say, hey, you want to talk to the Rays guy? Cool. We can learn what the Rays are trying to do. Oh, we can talk to the Dodgers. Oh, we can talk to the Astros. Oh, we can talk to the Cardinals. Oh, we can talk to whoever, Yankees guys. And they're doing this, and I'd like to implement this. Well, then maybe even if you go back to Getz, you can say, well, heck, we talked to the Yankees guy. They said they're doing this or they're doing that. Maybe we should think about doing that. It's just a free opportunity to talk to him. But, hey, maybe, you know what? Listen, Chris Getz might be the right guy. He might turn this around, and I hope he does. I really hope he does. But it just seemed like a lost opportunity from a baseball standpoint. Now, I understand why Jerry says he did it. Why? Because it was an easy transition. It would help the team in the short term. Well, in the short term, they're off to the worst start in franchise history. They're off to one of the worst starts in the history of baseball, not just with the White Sox. So, I mean, that was the thing that is confusing to me. And then the other thing that's confusing to me is they're like, oh, we're not going to rebuild. Well, if you're not rebuilding and you actually were trying this year, then I don't want to know what rebuilding looks like, right?
Yeah.
Well, because that's kind of the thing. Like, just come out and say, hey, you know what? We hired a new GM. We're going in a different direction. It's going to take us a couple of years. I think fans would have been like, okay, we get it. We understand. And so they're like, oh, no, we're going to just plow through with who we have. And it hasn't worked.
I know you have a good relationship with Jerry, AJ, but do you believe, like, winning is his top priority?
I mean, when you talk to him, he says he wants to win. I don't know what else. I mean, listen, I had many a meal with Jerry, had many a conversation with Jerry, and, you know, Jerry says he wants to hear the truth. And when he asked me, I give him truthful answers. This isn't anything I haven't said to Jerry in the past, so. I believe he wants to win. I know he said he wants to win another World Series before, you know, he moves on. So, I believe that.
What do his actions? What do his actions tell you, though, AJ?
His actions tell me that, you know, they're kind of stuck in the middle right now. You know, they did the rebuild. It worked for a year or two. You know, he went and got La Russa in the first year. He was great. Second year, he fell apart. Then last year just got worse, and now this year they tried to fix some things and change some things, and they haven't worked so far. But again, you know, this is a league you have to spend money in. It's not a, you know, you can draft and develop, and you can even, you know, people are going to say the Rays. I get it. But the Rays are a special circumstance. They find players that nobody else finds things in. And again, that goes back to, why not interview people from there? Why not find somebody from there? Hey, what do you guys look for in this? Oh, okay, maybe we can steal that little nugget of information. So,
yes.
I mean, his actions tell me he wants to win, but do you really want to win? And do you really want to, you know, there's a lot that goes into winning a major in baseball pennant. It's not just spending. It's not just developing. You got to have everything on the same page. You got to have everything working in lockstep.
AJ, when you played, and we're talking to AJ Pierzynski, when you came to the White Sox, you played the most grueling position in baseball. And here were your games played. 128, 140, 136, 134, 138, 128, 129, 135. You played all the time. It seemed like you were never hurt. You were probably hurting, but you were never hurt. And you didn't miss a lot of games. Why do they have guys who are always missing games?
I can't see. I know people ask me. I don't know. I can't answer that. I really can't. You can never judge someone's pain tolerance. You can never judge someone's body. Can't. It's easy to say, oh, they're injury prone, but you know, sometimes it's bad luck. You get hit by a pitch in the wrong spot, and if it was a millimeter over, it doesn't break your hand. I don't know. I can't explain it. I know they've changed trainers. They've changed athletic. You know, weight guys, they've changed all that, trying to make it better. It just hasn't worked. And listen, I was very lucky. I was very fortunate. I was blessed, and honestly, to be that lucky not to get hurt. But I also worked at it every day, worked out almost every day. Was in there with Alan Thomas, and you know, I tried to stay out of the training room if at all possible, except to go in and give Herm a big hug every day. Other than that, it was like, hey, Herm, and I turn around and walk out because I didn't want to be in there. You know, I wasn't big into massages and all that stuff. I just was like, all right, I'm going to play and, you know, see what happens. But you can't ever speak on anybody's injuries because you just don't know. I don't know what these guys are going through. I don't know how bad they're hurt. I don't know. Everyone has a different pain tolerance.
Yeah. AJ, speaking of injuries, and bigger picture question for you, the issue with arms and the injuries with arms in Major League Baseball, what do you make of it, and what do you think maybe some of the causes are?
Well, if you watch our show, Foul Territory, we had Keith Meister on last week. He's like the leading guy now to do all the Tommy Johns and the bracing that you heard about for Spencer Strider and some of these other guys. And, you know, everyone has a different reason. And we had Alex Wood on today, and he was talking about what he thinks. And he's kind of been out front as a player talking about some stuff on social media. It's of different reasons. I mean, he starts probably at the youth level, works his way up. Kids don't take time off. Kids are throwing every pitch, max effort, max velocity, and then you just continue to go up the ladder and get to Major League Baseball, and every pitch is as hard as I can throw it, as spinny as I can throw it, and then again, no one takes time off. You guys throw all summer, all season, they get to October, they're done, they go right to the drive line and try to figure out how they can make their slider a sweeper or how to make their fastball more spinny or whatever it is. It's a lot. And, you know, eventually the arms are going to break, and it just sucks. It's been a lot of big names guys going down. And the problem with Tommy John and those ligaments is they're a year, you're out for a year. So it just sucks for the game. I wish there was one answer you could say, all right, I'll work on this. It would help. But it's more than one thing. It's a combo effort, and hopefully it'll get better.
Yeah.
Do you like what you're doing, or would you still like to manage?
I mean, I would. I love what I'm doing, first of all. Between foul territory and getting to do Fox, I mean, I love my job. I have the greatest job in the world. I get paid to talk baseball. I mean, what else would I want to do? I mean, I guess I could be on, you know, ESPN Radio with you guys and get paid to talk all sports. But, you know, I want you guys to have jobs also.
Well, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. Yes, thank you.
But no, I love what I do. Listen, would I like to maybe coach or manage on the road? And that's one of the big questions. You know, why don't you coach or manage? Well, I have a senior and junior in high school. You know, one of my daughters getting ready to graduate high school and go to play college volleyball. My son's a junior playing baseball. He's going to go play in college somewhere, more than likely. I just enjoy what I have going on. I get to work from home, except for when I travel to do games. You know, and even like I get to even call some games from my house. So it's a tough gig to beat right now with what I have going on and where I'm at in life. And, you know, would I like to manage or coach one day down the road? Sure. If it's the right opportunity, I'd love it because I think it'd be fun as hell. But other than that, it's going to be tough to pry me out of my house.
What do you like as a youth sports parent?
What am I like?
Yeah. Like, are you very,
I'm involved.
What was that?
I'm involved. I'll say that. I'm involved.
Involved from the stands? Like, are you yelly? Are you sit back and try to breathe? What are you like as far as that goes?
Well, I was coaching my son's high school team. I backed off this year because I just didn't have the time commitment. Like, I'm missing a game today, and then I'm missing a game this weekend for other engagements. I have a golf tournament down in Dallas. Celebrity invited to play John Lester, a bunch of guys. So I'm missing that. But I, you know, I'm my daughter's volleyball. I sit back and watch, and you know, I yell. I need to say something. Most of the time, I just watch and just get nerve wracking. And then my son, when he plays baseball, I, you know, one of the good things I did is once I stepped away this year from helping him in high school, and is our relationship got better because now when he comes home, we have conversations instead of doing it during the season, right, or during the game. And so after the game, he comes to me and he's like, "What'd you see?" And we have a long conversation about it and go from there. So. I'd like to think I'm relaxed, but inside I'm churning. Trust me, it's hard to watch because it's something you can't control, and you're like, God, I would have done this differently, but you know, it's not my career, it's not my life.
It's good stuff. So,
yep.
Do you have the Cubs winning 90 or 95 this year?
Hey, they're pretty good, man. I'm not gonna lie. Listen, for all the heat that Hoyer took and what they took for not making the move, you know, they got Bellinger, him and August, unbelievable, right?
Yeah,
no runs given up yet, and he's been great. Michael Bush looks like a stud. The way he swung the bat, 5 games with home run in a row. You know, they're playing well right now. You know, what's amazing is the NL Central's pretty good. The Reds, you know, the Pirates are better than expected, right? The Brewers are really good. They can really swing the bat. I don't think anybody saw them having the offense they have. So it's going to be tough, but I mean, I'll put them around 88. How's that?
88, okay.
That should be enough to win the Central, despite everybody else playing good baseball over the course of the year.
And it's higher than what I predicted at the beginning of the year. Yeah.
Well, the way they got off to a good start, though, so it gives you more hope, right? It gives you more hope that they're going to be better. But, I mean, the Reds, I still think the Reds figure out a way to win that division.
We've gotten word, too, AJ, as we let you go, from Danny Zetterman, our director of content, that he would like to offer you an ambassador job for ESPN 1000 since you're no longer with the White Sox. You could be our ambassador.
I appreciate it, guys. Listen, I just want to make one thing clear. There's no hard feelings between me and the White Sox at all. I hope everybody understands that. This is not a personal thing. This is not a personal shot at anybody in the White Sox. This is just how I feel as a fan. It's my opinion. I could be way wrong, right? And again, I hope people are like, oh, why would you call out Montgomery? Why would you call out Chilton? I hope they become unbelievable players. And it wasn't a shot at them. It was more of, you know, I need to see more out of them. I need to see them turn into productive major league players, which I hope they do. And I hope all these guys do. So I just want people to understand that more than anything. This was not anything personal. This is not a shot. And I still have good terms with the White Sox.
It's good to hear, too. Yes. That's very good to hear.
Truth can be painful sometimes.
Yeah, I know. And you do a great job on foul territory. AJ, keep up the great work. Have a safe trip, okay?
Thanks for your time, AJ.
Thanks, guys. And, I'm doing the White Sox game on Monday, so you guys can tune in and we'll find out.
Nice.
Very good. That's good timing. Thanks a lot, AJ.
Thanks, AJ.
Thanks, guys.
AJ Pierzynski. He's great. He's great at what he does. Oh, he was fantastic. A great player for the White Sox.
Look, I think all I've ever heard him say, and he doesn't do it in a jaded way. He's
or
just
personal.
Honest.
Right.
It's not personal. It's honest.
And even when I asked him about him playing, he's not back when I played. He's not the back when I played in my day guy.
No.
He said, look, this is how I did it, and I'm not one to second guess. But like, Berto sent me this, Berto from the West Side who called. Like, does this surprise you or is this meatheadish? Like, I don't think this is meatheadish. The White Sox posted, James Fegan sent it out. You know, on their wall, they put up their lineup and then their schedule for the day. And the schedule, the way it were like batting practice, everything like that. 325 today, stretch. And in parentheses, optional.
No.
Yes. Play catch, parentheses, optional. Defensive work, parentheses, optional.
No, that should be mandatory. You've seen them play defense.
That's a 3:45. 4 p.m., batting practice, in parentheses, optional.
No, they've been shut out six times. There's nothing optional about this.
And then prep for game, that's not optional at 6:25.
What is
national anthem, 6:28. How is a stretch for a game optional when all your guys are going down with soft tissue injuries? Right? You had two guys go down with adductor injuries.
Yeah, yes? I don't know. Yeah.
With leg injuries.
Yeah.
Who are the two guys who went down?
Mankata and Aloy. And then
the hip injury
that he had a full year ago, same hip injury.
What did Robert go down with?
The hip.
Okay.
And Mankata and Aloy.
How are they stretching? How is it an optional stretch? When you are, like, again, and I know AJ said, look, sometimes it could be bad luck. Sometimes you get hit on a bone, and it could have been 1 inch. These aren't the injuries the Sox are suffering.
No, these are soft tissue injuries, most of them. And how can defensive, prep be optional?
And they've been shut out six different times. I don't want to go all meathead on you and say everyone must hit. But when you can't get any runs, shouldn't everyone practice hitting?
Yes, the same way when part of your problems are also you're not good defensively, part of the preparation should be mandatory fielding as well. They should be out there running bases.
But yet they have a meeting yesterday. They're meeting.
Well, that produced a lot.
312.
I don't know. I don't know how that compares to other Major League Baseball teams. But at 2-14, maybe they should start doing something different to see if they can generate different results.
At the very least, stretching should not be optional.
I don't know how any sports team, Little League, high school, college, or professional team, stretching was one of the most important aspects of being ready to play.
312-332-3776. Your thoughts on what you heard from AJ? Did you like it?
Scoring runs also optional tonight.
That's true. You are right. Yeah. And they've taken that to heart. I thought AJ was very good. I thought AJ was truthful, but yet wasn't personal and still highlighted that it is not. He still loves the Sox and that he still, has great relationships with the Sox. It was a mutual thing, though, because he wants to be an analyst and he can't be a real analyst without criticizing what the White Sox have done.
You could still have a passion for a team that you gave your heart to and also not be a fan of how they're going about their business.
I think you've done that.
There have been plenty of things about what has transpired up at Halas Hall that have not sat well with me, and I tell you every day they course through my veins.
That's what I was going with. I think you've done that for decades in this town. So 3-3-2-3-7-7-6, and speaking of them, there's a trend going on with some football bigwigs. on what the Bears may do at 9 that I want to fill you in on. Plus, we've got a recap of what the Sky did last night. That got my juices going. Did it get yours? Is everyone on board with this? And maybe, are you a Johnny Come Lately? There was a gatekeeper out there saying, we don't want you, to me earlier today.
Really? You had somebody telling you to buzz off?
Yes. Someone told me, we don't want you. You're too late. You can't be on our bandwagon.
My guess is just you still, like, they would still take your money.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
this guy will definitely take your money.
They want all of us.
Of course they do.
Their social media account was going crazy last night.
Wow. You would think they were the Chiefs shooing you away. We don't have any room for you left here at the Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon.
I still think the Chiefs want as many fans as they can get.
Of course they do.
Like, just like we went through with the Blackhawks. Like, no, there's plenty of room for everybody.
You're too late, mister.
So all your
reaction. Your money's no good.
Anything you want to talk about, we'll take all of your calls coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
If you want to react to AJ Pierzynski saying him and the White Sox have parted ways as far as
him
working for the team.
Manager.
Would you hire? I mean, he has no coaching experience.
That has not
David
deterred
Ross.
Other teams from doing it in the past.
Right. David Ross had no coaching experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the very least, you're going to have a lot of stuff that is listed as optional, no longer listed as optional with AJ. That would be my guess.
Did Boone have any coaching experience before he managed the Yankees?
I believe he came straight from the Sunday night booth, right?
So like that.
Did Joe Girardi have any coaching experience before he went to
the Marlins?
Manager?
The Marlins is where he went first. Not sure.
One thing is, like, especially with guys who have been catchers in the league,
right.
You know they've thought through the game on so many different levels. I don't think it's really a primary necessity.
Yeah, so if you want to react to that, then we'll get to some Bears here in a minute. Jimmy on the north side wanted to react to AJ.
Jimmy!
So he's no... by the way, AJ's no longer an ambassador with the White Sox. They parted ways mutually because, you know, his role as an analyst, he's had to criticize the White Sox... That didn't stand well with the White Sox, and AJ wasn't going to stop. So they still have a good relationship, according to AJ, but the White Sox didn't like that he had to be honest. So Jimmy, what's on your mind?
How's it going, guys? That's an interesting breakdown. Very well said. Let's say I grew up a White Sox fan my whole life on the north side, and, you know, belly fat gate last year, I really started to distance myself a little bit. AJ Pierzynski was my favorite player in baseball of all time. And he plays the stroke type of guy, but it actually is effective against his opponents. I'm telling you, he's more than qualified to be a manager in the major league.
I was going to ask you, Jimmy, would you be a fan? I mean, I don't know where you're at right now with a team that's 2-14 and that's been shut out 6 times in 16 games. But is that just grasping for straws, asking for someone like AJ to be your next manager and kind of...
Every time I've heard him talk about the White Sox, it sounds to me as though he's open and would welcome, you know, an opportunity to be the manager, and that would bring me directly back to the team. I played college baseball when he was in his prime. Do you really think optional stretching would pass with AJ Pierzynski?
No.
It would totally change the entire culture. And by the way, if you don't stretch before a baseball game and you pull your hammy, that's on you. People should be held accountable.
You shouldn't go
for
to the window on Wednesday and pick up your check. And thinking about, do you think AJ would allow somebody hitting .175 to say, well, you said, Skip, you said the hitting, you know, batting practice was optional. I don't think
everybody.
You get a one-way ticket to Charlotte and or wherever you're from, because that's just not a commitment to winning. I mean, Pierzynski called Mark Burley's games, and Burley didn't shake him off, I think, but once for an entire season.
I know what you're saying, Jimmy, that it's on you, but like before every Bears practice, they stretch as a team. This is before practice.
Yeah.
And like in baseball, you're starting and stopping. You're starting and stopping. You're hitting, then you're going out to the field. Like that there should be nothing optional about stretching for a baseball game.
I would think your
game.
Medical staff would.
That's what I'm saying. The training
would
staff,
intervene.
Strength and conditioning.
They tell Eloy to jog to first. They don't tell him to stretch before the game, and the guy still can't jog to first.
Eloy doesn't even know. Eloy said he didn't have a concrete answer as to what he's going to do on a slow roller. He doesn't know anymore.
They're telling him literally not to run, and he can't do that without getting injured. Moncada, I actually thought he was going to try this year because it was a contract year, but I guess stretching doesn't make sense to him after, like, I think 5 lower body injuries over the past 3 years that have held him out of games. If you catch for 140 games a year, do you know how much more demanding that is on a body than jogging out to third base? I mean, come on.
Jimmy, thanks. Good stuff.
Jimmy.
Let's go to Ryan in Kankakee. Ryan, you're on ESPN 1000.
Mark, Tom, good afternoon. Ryan. I wanted to talk about this stretching thing some more. My goodness, that was news to me that it was optional for the White Sox to stretch. It reminded me of, it escaped me who the interviewer was, but an interview with Kobe right after he retired, they ask him, they say, what are 3 things that you wish you would have done more of in your career? He said, that's a really easy question. The answer is stretch, stretch, and stretch some more.
Agreed.
Completely ridiculous that the White Sox allowed that to happen.
I would really love some clarity on this as well, because it's easy to kick them when they're down and say, well, yeah, and that's all we have is we're reading the schedule.
And by the way, Fegan, who tweeted that, has deleted the tweet. And it was a picture of what's posted.
Right, so he wasn't making it up.
Well, I don't know if the White Sox made him take it down, and again, it's just blame the messenger for putting out what, and like they're mad again that they're being exposed. Or if something is being misdiagnosed. I would like Pedro Grifol to clarify that in his scrum before the game.
Right. What exactly, as you get prepared to play a game, is mandatory and what is, quote unquote, optional?
There should be more hand holding when you're 2-14.
I would think so.
Don't you agree?
No doubt. And the more, like I said, it's like being a parent. And when your kids prove that they can be trusted and they're mature and they're doing things the right way, then you give them more leeway. I think that that's just natural. Don't you think teams that win consistently and have excellent leadership from their players, they do things maybe a little bit different than teams that aren't doing things the right way, that don't have the great leadership from the veteran players, and they're not finding themselves in the winner's circle more times than not?
And the veterans have a pregame routine that has worked for them, and it's tried and true and everything like that. But when you continue to get hurt, and when you continue to show that you can't go a week, like Carmen said, the 3 guys who are injury-prone didn't make it to tax day. When you can't make it to April 15th, all three of them, isn't it time to say, we've got to take the ball out of your hands. We've got to control it now.
I would love to know exactly what is mandatory on game day and what is optional. Like, I can't, like, if you're 2-14 and guys are pulling muscles and nobody's hitting over .150, none of this can be optional.
Of course.
We'll get it to be optional when everyone's healthy and everyone is meeting or exceeding their expectations. But when everybody's underachieving, nothing should be optional, I wouldn't believe.
Mark in South Bend. Mark, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Sylvie. Hey, Tom. How you doing today? Great show you got.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that segment you just did with AJ, and they're giving him the runaround that he can't manage because he has to go through the system and work his way. And you're right. Both Aaron Boone and David Ross were just put right into the manager's seat. This is the same thing they did with Reggie Jackson. Reggie wanted to go into management in the late 80s after his career, and then they told him, you got to go through the system. You got to start like in rookie ball, work your way to A ball and all this. We know you're smart and how much knowledge you have of baseball. The same they did with Babe Ruth. It's the same thing they're doing with AJ. they're judging not their knowledge, but their character. They're not the A-type perfect Aaron Boone-type personality.
All right, they did that, like, the Cubs, it's funny, the Cubs did that with Rhino. The Cubs are like, look, you got to ride the bus in the minor leagues. We're not putting you in manager. But yet, they'll do that with Rossi, their guy. Rhino wasn't their guy. There are certain guys that they're willing to do that for, and then there are certain guys that they say they want them to go from A-ball to AA to AAA, and they want to see that for. I think we're putting the cart before the horse because I think what ills the White Sox is what I've always said with the Bears. It starts at the top. And I don't believe that they're getting it right on the big level with general manager and everything like that. But if we're talking about the manager stuff, could I interest you in a AJ in the big seat? And would Ozzie come back to be his bench coach?
Sure, yeah.
Like manager and training type thing?
Of course.
Like, they have a good relationship, right?
Yes. To try and get this thing back on the track. Or back on track.
Like, Ozzie, I think, only would come back to be a manager, but would Ozzie come back to sort of be the apprentice, you know, that apprentice relationship with AJ?
Mentor for AJ's apprenticeship.
Yes. That's what I'm always looking for. Yes. The mentor.
I'll take anything over what they got going right now.
Some accountability here.
Yes.
Look, none of this is going to fly under us.
Listen, if for whatever reason they decide to switch gears with regard to their manager in the middle of the season and they just decide to call Tony,
that's not going to work either.
Tony doesn't. You think Tony La Russa wants any part of this?
I'm just saying. I mean, like, he's hanging around a ball yard.
No, he is, but
he doesn't have to wake up and then stay late. And
I'm not saying it, but like, I mean, there have been stranger things happen with that team, haven't there?
Yes, you're right. You're right.
I mean,
discount nothing.
Right. I mean, I would not turn a blind eye to anything with regard to that team.
I think TLR is more hell of a lot more likely than either AJ or Ozzie.
Well, yeah, they won't let AJ be an ambassador. So you think they're going to let him be the manager?
Do you think they're going to let Ozzie be the manager?
They let him be their TV guy. He ripped them on TV yesterday, too.
I'd love to see Ozzie on the top step.
Me, too. I'd rather see that.
I don't know if Ozzie would want to be managing that team, though.
I don't think any person.
There's nothing there to manage.
You don't think anybody would want that job now?
This job this year, like I'd need some type of assurances that, you know, I'm not getting gassed at the end of the season.
You don't think Ozzie would pick up the phone and take that right now?
He may do it because it's the Sox. Like if it was another team that he may not have an attachment to under no circumstances.
But what is there to fix?
That's my point, there's nothing there.
But there's only stuff that you like, there's nowhere to go but up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, boy, I don't know how desirable.
Going up is what? Still losing 100 games.
Sure, but
if it was a group of young players that Ozzie or one of, you know, just we're using Ozzie as an example that feel like they could mold these guys, you ain't molding Tommy Pham. You're just not.
No, I know. Those are the veteran, just journeyman players.
Right. So I mean.
Yeah, the guys like Grossman and Pilar. You want them because they're serviceable players who have a history in the game, but even their best seasons in their prime.
That's why this is so far above the manager's pay grade.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even though the manager stinks, it's so far above it. So far. All right. To the mock drafts, Mel Kiper Jr. is going to join us at 5. And there are a lot of mocks from people in the know, too, who have the Bears trading back. What do they know? We'll discuss that coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
All right, let's talk some mock drafts. And if you missed the AJ conversation, it will be posted on our new YouTube page. Make sure you subscribe while you're there. It's youtube.com/@WaddleAndSylvie. So yesterday, Brad Biggs put out a mock draft, and he had the Bears trading back Today, Peter Schrager does an interesting mock draft, and he prefaces it by saying, and this is his only mock draft, his mock draft 1.0. He says, as always, this isn't what I would do. This is what I'm hearing from my sources around the league. Of course, at number one, he has the Bears taking Caleb Williams. And then at number nine, and this is very interesting, and there are a couple of other interesting nuggets along with it. At number nine, with Malik Nabers on the board, but Adunze gone, Malik Nabers falls to nine. He is the Bears trading back with Malik Nabers on the board. It says Indianapolis sends Chicago a future second-round pick in order to move up six slots and pounce on Nabers, the star receiver out of LSU. In an AFC South that saw the Jaguars, Texans, and Titans all aggressively attack free agency, Colts GM Chris Ballard shows he has tricks up his sleeve. So the Bears then fall back in the draft with this second-round pick. He doesn't specify what a future second-rounder means, if that means later in the draft or if that means in a year from now. But with the 15th pick, the Bears take offensive tackle J.C. Latham from Alabama. Says, after piling up more draft capital by trading back, the Bears still land a stud offensive tackle. Latham could be the second OT taken on draft night. Some teams like him that much. If the board falls this way, Chicago adds a big pedigreed bookend who can join last year's first-round tackle, Darnell Wright, in protecting the new franchise quarterback, Caleb Williams.
I don't like it. I don't like that mock. I would like that mock not to be true.
So Biggs, who is connected, has the Bears trading back, and he had Adunze and Nabers on the board. Yes,
both available at the time.
At the time.
Yeah.
Here is Schrager, who is doing it based on his sourced information with the Bears trading back. Josh Schrock, who we had on a couple weeks ago from NBC Sports Chicago, did his mock draft today. I think he sent it out yesterday. He, too, had the Bears at nine, trading back.
Don't like
with
it.
The Eagles going way down into the 20s.
But I believe his mock has all three receivers gone by that time. If one of these receivers is available at nine, I want them to draft. That's just my own preference. I want them to draft that receiver. Again, you've got a rookie quarterback. You've already created a nice infrastructure. I like to trade for Keenan Allen. He's got, at this moment, he's only got 1 year left on his deal. And at some point, he's going to not be as serviceable as he has been over the last several years. You're going to keep DJ Moore, but I mean.
I've said it. You only have two wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, like.
And you may have one and a half based on his contract.
And look, do you believe that so far they've proven that they're really good at identifying receivers in the draft?
Not if they're not smacked in the face.
Right. Well, right. And like DJ Moore is a proven commodity already.
And so is Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen's a proven commodity. So how do you, if this isn't like your specialty, they're really good at a lot of stuff. Maybe they've got a bit of a blind spot at that position. What's the best way to factor out as much risk as possible is to maybe draft a guy who is a quote unquote, and I dare I say it, almost a sure thing or a surer thing than others.
Look, the ones that haven't been a sure thing, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, they whiffed on Claypool, who they liked in the draft.
Right.
They whiffed on Valus Jones. And we don't know on Tyler Scott yet, but the rookie year wasn't as good as many hoped.
So I'm saying to you, if you've got a couple of guys who in everybody's estimation are difference-making wide receivers, and we've talked about how you can find guys that can play the position later, but these are guys that universally are loved and are expected to be difference makers in the NFL, and you have an opportunity to draft one of them, and you're also still building the infrastructure for your young first overall pick quarterback, why not use that ninth pick on one of these guys? And I think I love Biggs. Biggs has got more contacts than me. Peter Schrager is one of my favorites as well. I still find it hard to believe if Nabers or Rome Odunze are there at nine that they're moving off of that.
And maybe are the Bears for the first time sending out some misdirection for the league? Are they wanting people to believe that they could trade down, but they have a, they're doing something different?
They're not a finished product and won't be at the end of this draft either. They've got a ton of draft currency next year. You're going to get Caleb Williams at one. Maybe take that swing for another deep ball at nine with somebody that can be a home run hitter.
332-3776 if you want to react. We've got an early Waddle's World because Wilbon is going to join us early today as well at 4:30. Mel Kiper Jr. joins us at 5. We'll throw all those questions at Kiper 1 hour from now.